Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. It's the 5th of April, 2012, and today I'm honored to be joined on the line once again by Professor Michelle Chosadovsky of GlobalResearch.ca. So, Professor Chosadovsky, let's get straight into today's conversation, and today I'd like to start talking about the French presidential elections, the first round of voting of which will be coming up later this month on April 22nd. And this is a very interesting election cycle, not only for the people of France, but I think for people around the world because of the global geostrategic forces that are at play in this election. So let's start breaking down for people what kind of forces are at play in this election and what kind of influence outside forces are having on what's going on in French political or presidential politics right now.
Well, I think the first thing to emphasize is the fact that Nicolas Sarkozy is not the typical French presidential candidate. In fact, he's not quite part of the French political landscape because he is largely pursuing the interests of the United States, both in France as well as in the European Union. And this was quite clear right from the outset of his first campaign, where members of his extended family, I'm talking about the Frank G. Wisner family, which is CIA connected, and Frank G. Wisner is his stepfather in the United States. He has half-brothers in the United States. He has a half-brother, Olivier Sarkozy, who is an American, who actually was on the Carlyle Group, and so on and so forth. And these connections have been well documented, to the fact that that Sarkozy could, in many regards, be considered as a proxy head of state, serving U.S. interests rather than the interests of France and the European Union. Now, that I think that's one dimension of the equation. The other dimension has to do with the nature of Sarkozy's election campaign, quote unquote. And in fact, his campaign was initiated last year, or in fact, even before that, during the so-called Dominique Strauss-Kahn affair, where Dominique Strauss-Kahn was candidate for the Socialist Party. We're talking about the former managing director of the International Monetary Fund, who was the object of a sex scandal in New York City, and whose reputation was tainted as a result, and consequently he was no longer the main contender of Sarkozy in the elections. Had this not occurred, Strauss-Kahn could have been the front runner in these elections in the month of April that we're now. Which is now unfolding. I won't get into the details of the Dominique Strauss-Kahn affair, but it has all the appearances of a frame-up of something which was deliberate. And again, the relationship to the Wisner family is also underlying this event. It just so happens, for instance, that the prosecutor, Cyrence Vance Jr. in the Strauss-Kahn affair is the son of former Secretary of State Cyrus Vance, and it just so happens that the stepfather of Sarkozy, Frank G. Wisner, was Deputy Secretary of State under Cyrus Vance. So these are not coincidences, and ultimately, even though Strauss-Kahn was cleared, so to speak, but his reputation was tainted, the main objective, namely to remove him from the French political landscape, had been achieved. But let's look at the sequencing. You have Strauss-Kahn, then you have much more recently the tragic events in Toulouse, the alleged assassin Mohamed Merah. There are many unanswered questions with regard to this assassination in a Jewish school which led to the death of four children and plus the teacher, which had a major impact on what was going on in France at the height of the election campaign. Several prominent figures in France have raised questions regarding this matter as to whether Mera was actually the killer, as to the role of French intelligence services, as to the fact that Mera was in fact an informant for French intelligence, and the fact also that he allegedly was in Pakistan some years earlier, and he was known to the intelligence community. And you don't leave an intelligence asset running around doing things without following him. So this event has to be investigated, carefully investigated, and the role of French intelligence and consequently also of the French presidency has to be addressed. I think the third element in the election campaign has to do with recent crackdowns against so-called Islamist Al-Qaeda affiliated organizations in France. There was one a couple of weeks ago, and then there's another one more recently. And even the mainstream press in Western Europe have underscored the fact that this could be a strategy on the part of French President Sarkozy to gain votes. In other words, through his actions directed against the Muslim community in France. I should, I think, mention that it could also produce a backlash because 10% of France's population are actually Muslims and they also vote in these elections. So it could, in fact, go the other way. But we have a pattern there of staged events which need to be addressed. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that Sarkozy is waging a somewhat unconventional election campaign, which defies the laws of politics. And his main contenders simply don't want to really address these issues at this particular moment. But it could come at a later stage, particularly in the second round of this election. Now, the other important dimension is how has Sarkozy served U.S. interests in the course of his first mandate of President of the French Republic? I should mention that France is an outgoing colonial power, and it is an outgoing colonial power in favor of the United States of America. And that's not recent history. That goes back to the Vietnam War. It goes back to the wars of Indochina. It goes back to the fact that France is being shoved out, so to speak, and wherever France had colonial interests or spheres of influence, the United States is coming in. It started in Vietnam, and it has extended more recently in sub-Saharan Africa and also in North Africa. And the question we have to ask ourselves, would a socialist president, e.g. the late François Mitterrand, have accepted that countries like Ivory Coast, Mali, Tunisia, or even Algeria enter into the sphere of influence of the United States of America to the detriment of France's traditional role within Francophonie, the French-speaking community of Africa, not to mention the declining influence of France in Central Africa, namely in the former Zaire, the Congo, in Rwanda, in Burundi. Not to say that these were French colonies. They weren't. They were Belgian colonies. But nonetheless, in the wake of their independence, France was essentially the key player in Central Africa and in the Congo with regard, let's say, to the regime of Mobutu. So that what we are seeing is an extension of American influence in the African continent, virtually everywhere, particularly in Central Africa, in West Africa, in former colonial territories of France, in Mali, where there's an impending fracture of the entire country following a military coup, and so on. So all these aspects, in my opinion, are significant in assessing the role of the French president, whom has all appearances of being a proxy of the United States, acting on behalf of Washington rather than in the national interest of the French Republic.
So given that Sarkozy seems to be acting as this type of agent of American influence in French presidential politics, do we see that reflected in the relations between America and France in recent years, especially after the acrimony that followed the Iraq invasion between America and France? Has there been an entente in those relations?
Well, that is a very important question. We recall events of 2003 in the United Nations Security Council, where former Foreign Minister Dominique de Villepin, and that was in the government of Jacques Chirac, took a very firm position against the U.S.-British stance in the United Nations, namely to get the U.N. green light and of course, to invade Iraq. What we had in 2003 was a very firm alliance between France and Germany, the so-called Franco-German alliance, which was not only characterized by a political relationship, it was also characterized by the integration of the two countries' military-industrial complex, EADES, the European Air Defense System Corporation, was a joint venture between Deutsche Aerospace on the one hand and Aerospatiale Matra on the other. There were important links in the areas of banking and finance, and there were also links in the oil industry. So that essentially this Franco-German alliance was really the expression of a European project against the overriding influence of the United States in alliance with the United Kingdom. And that Franco-German alliance was broken in the wake of the Iraq War, and it was certainly broken subsequently with the accession of Nicolas Sarkozy to the French presidency in 2007.
So is it really for the French voters a choice between American interests represented by Sarkozy and the other candidates who are representing French interests, or is there something more going on behind the scenes there?
Well, I think that issue is something which has to be addressed in the election campaign. Is the French president pursuing the interests of France broadly? And that includes not only the French people, but French business interests and so on, French institutions in a broad historical context? Or is he, in fact, acting as a proxy of a foreign power, which essentially raises the broader question as to whether the European Union is an entity in its own right, or if it is gradually being encroached by the United States acting as the dominant world power militarily, economically, financially, and so on. And then we can start looking at other issues such as the crisis in Greece or Portugal, which in a sense have been triggered by U.S. Wall Street financial institutions to the detriment of the so-called European project. So is Sarkozy supportive of this encroachment of Europe by the United States of America? Has he sold off French nationalism? Is he conducting his presidency in the interest of the French people? Whatever his position within the spectrum, he's a right-wing candidate, but nonetheless, he could be a right-wing candidate which is pro-French rather than pro-American. So these, I think, are issues which I hope that the French people will address when they cast their vote on April 22nd.
All right, excellent. Thank you for that analysis. Professor Chasidovsky, globalresearch.ca, thank you for your time.
Thank you.